Indeed, we can gather to just praise you, just to worship your holy name. We do not take it for granted. We know it's your hand, it's your power, and it's your faithfulness, oh God. Speak to us this morning in a language that we understand, that we may know your truth and we may know your ways. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I trust that God has kept you. And it's another good morning that God has given us to be in his presence, to hear from him, to be taught by him, to be led by him. And I know he is always having something to speak to us. And we have been looking at the prayers of Paul to the Ephesian church, and we looked at chapter 1, and today we will try and conclude that and also connect it with what I will call the fullness of God, in that God's desire, God's plan, God's delight is that he actually dwells in man, and his desire was to live with man. And And I believe that's something that we shall see from Paul's prayer today. And the Bible tells us, we'll read from Ephesians chapter 3. The book of Ephesians chapter 3. And we've been reading from the book of, from the verse 13, where we've been seeing Paul's prayer. This is the second part of his prayer. Remember, we looked at the first part of his prayer being prayer for thanksgiving, then prayer for wisdom and revelation, prayer for God to flood eyes with light that we'll have understanding the inner man. And then we've also looked at asking God to strengthen us in the inner man, to be strengthened in the inner man with might by the Holy Spirit. And this is by with dunamis. And we saw that might there is dunamis. And that is the potential explosive power of the Holy Spirit, that is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that resurrection power, the Bible says and teaches us, and we have learned that it is available for the believer, it is available for the Christian and for the church of God. And so we have also looked at the prayer that God Christ to dwell in our hearts by faith, and that we being rooted and grounded in love. And just reading from verse 17, okay, we can read from verse 16, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now this, what I wanted to look at is just tied in this verse 19, and which says us, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And remember, we've been speaking that God's love and Christ's love, that Christ, and here when we're speaking of Christ, we're speaking of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, which is God dwelling in our hearts by faith. And apart from him dwelling in our hearts by faith, we are asking God, can we be filled with all the fullness of God? Now, yesterday we spoke about we being individuals that have a right of our own bodies. We have our will of our own territory. And God has given us that dominion over self, over what we agree to, over what we refuse. So anything that comes to you, when you're strengthened in your inner man, you have the capacity to either deny it or you have the capacity to accept it. Now, if you accept it, then you allow something that might not have been legal to come to you. It's just like if you look at those who believe in witchcraft and those who expect to be attacked by witchcraft, they actually, in a way, they give permission for witchcraft to attack them. Now, but they that know that they are in Christ, that their lives are hidden in Christ and Christ is in God, they have the knowledge that for the devil to find them, they have to first come through Christ. So we as believers, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. Now, there is a mystery, and there is what we call koinonia, the mystery of the fellowship. And this, if we read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." So there is a mystery of the fellowship. And what is this mystery of the fellowship? What is this mystery of koinonia that exists in the new believer? And this is what we've been talking about, that one, in Christ raises up, when he died and he ascended, we were also in him. We also died and we ascended and we are seated with him in heavenly places. So in the spirit, we are having fellowship with God in Christ, and we are seated at the right hand of the Father with him. And that is our position in the heavens. Our position in the heavens is that we are at the highest place in the heavens, where Christ is seated far above all thrones, all powers, all dominions, all principalities. So we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. But also there is something that Jesus promised us. And if we can quickly jump to the book of John, the Gospel of John, I want us to read the Gospel of John chapter 14, and I want us to just have an idea of the promise that Jesus was giving to his disciples. And maybe just to take us back to the background, when we see that Jesus was about to leave his disciples, and he tells them from what 14 verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled, but ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." Look at the place that Christ was preparing us. For us, he has gone to the Father to prepare a place for us. And after he has prepared the place for us, he will come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there also we may be. So we can see, even from Jesus' own words, he was already telling us that when I go to the right hand of the Father, I am going to prepare a place for you, and then I will come again and receive you unto myself, and there you may also be with me. So where Christ is right now, that is where we are in the spirit. We are in that fellowship. Now, the mystery of that fellowship is that, yes, we are also on the earth. We are on the earth physically, but in our spirit, in our inner man, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, God's Spirit comes to dwell in us, in our hearts, by faith when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, I want us to see something that Jesus told his disciples. Verse 5, "Thomas said unto him, Lord, We do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Then Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, it is sufficient for us. Verse 9, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and you yet, though thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say now then that show us the Father? Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also greater works than this, because I go unto the Father. Look at what Jesus was, the description that he was having with, the discussion that he was having with his disciples. Philip was like, show us the Father. You're telling us you're going, but we don't know where you're going. And he was wondering, but you've been with me all this time. How can you ask that I show you the Father? Don't you know that the Father is in me? I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And this is how we are seeing how God the Father was pleased to dwell in Christ. God was pleased that all the fullness of the Godhead was to dwell in Christ. The Bible tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So God was pleased that every fullness of God, of the Father, to dwell in bodily form in Christ, in Jesus. So he's telling his disciples, believe me that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And remember, even when you link it up with Hebrews chapter 1, it says that God has revealed himself to us through his Son. In the past, he spoke to us through the fathers, through the prophets, but in these last days, he has chosen to reveal himself through the Son, who is the exact representation of his being. He's the brightness of his image and the exact representation of his being. So if you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father, because the Father is in Jesus and was in Jesus Christ. And so then he says that, I want you to just go to verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, and if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands. 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Remember here, when we speak of the comforter, we are speaking of the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him, neither does it know him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Look at the message that God, that Jesus is telling his disciples, that the Spirit of truth is coming, the Holy Spirit is coming, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. Now, this Holy Spirit, when he comes, the world cannot receive him, because the world cannot see the Holy Spirit. It does not see him, it does not know him. But you, as my disciples, you as the believers, you know him, for he shall dwell in you, with you, and shall be in you. Look at the two aspects of the Holy Spirit. And there's also a third aspect. The Holy Spirit dwells with you. That means he walks alongside with you. Then also he shall be in you. That means the Holy Spirit shall live inside you. And then also, when Jesus tells his disciples in Acts 1, verse 8, that do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, and he shall come and be upon you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. So now I consider the aspects of the Holy Spirit are in threefold. One, he dwells with you. That means he is around you, because God's presence is all over. He fills the whole entire universe. But when you are with God, his presence surrounds you. You are covered by his presence. He walks with you. He is alongside you. But apart from him being with you, he is also in you. That means when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what the Holy Spirit comes, he comes and dwells inside you, and it becomes a fellowship inside you, where he now gives life to your spirit, and you are made alive, and you are transformed into a new creation. Now, the new creation is made alive by the Spirit of God. So, he will be in you. But then there is also another event, which is what we call the baptism in the Holy Spirit, in which the Bible says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Now, the disciples of Jesus, when Jesus was about to leave them, he told them, he breathed into them, and he told them, receive the Holy Spirit. So, he breathed into them before he left the earth. But then he told them that, wait, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon. So now that's why I said this is a mystery of the fellowship, in that we are speaking of the Holy Spirit who walks with us. We are speaking of the Holy Spirit who dwells with us, then who also lives inside us, who makes his home inside us. And then on top of that, he comes and then baptizes us, and he comes upon us. Now, in time, we shall be able to look into all those details, but as we'll start learning of the Holy Spirit, and I believe God, by his grace, will teach us that. But what I wanted us to see is that Jesus was telling his disciples that the Holy Spirit will come and live inside you. Then verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. 19, yet a little while the world sees me no more, but you shall see me, because I live, you shall also live. And then verse 20, and in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, you in me, and I in you. Look at this verse 20. And in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Can you see that mystery of the fellowship? That you shall know that Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. So this is, that's why Paul was praying for the Ephesian church, and he's praying that, I pray that you shall be filled with the fullness of God. Through faith, through Christ dwelling in you, as you keep asking God, can you fill me with all your fullness, with more of you? Surround me with your presence. Surround me with your power. Fill me, indwell in me, every part of me, consume every part of me. Remember, the Holy Spirit will only take the space that we allow him. He will only fill us to the capacity that we allow him. The reason that people have different manifestations, different outworkings, different capacities, different strengths in the spirit, different ability, it's because, one, it could be the gift, but there is also that which that comes from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and by yielding ourselves to his leading. But how does he abide in us? Verse 21, he says, he that has my commandments and keeps them, it is he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will make myself, I will manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him, make our home with him. So I wanted us to see that there is a mystery and there is a destiny. There is something that God desired, that man to be filled with the fullness of God, to be filled with the glory of God, to be filled by the Spirit of God. And God has given us his Holy Spirit to live inside of us. That means that when others are looking for God in temples, others are looking for God in churches, others are looking for God in men of God, but God is telling us that he is not far away from you. He is inside you. As a believer, as a child of God, you carry the presence of God. You carry the fullness of God. You have the ability to carry the fullness of God, and it is for you to surrender and submit your will to him, to keep his words, to keep his commandments, to keep his guidance. As you submit yourself to God, you are able to be filled. The Bible says, whomever you choose to obey, you yield. Whomever you yield, is yield yourself as a slave, you become their slave. Now, many Christians want, they say yes, they believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't make him Lord over their lives. It says, the Bible tells us, anyone who, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, many people just say, yes, yes, I believe Jesus died for my sins. He's forgiven me. But they forget that salvation is the statement that says, that confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When someone is your Lord, he is your owner. He determines your steps. He determines what job you do. He determines where you live. He determines everything that concerns your life. When you are under a Lord, you become subject to him. But many Christians are, they say they are Christians, yes, but in their hearts, they are still Lord over their lives. They are still in charge over their lives. They still determine what they want to do. They don't listen, and they are not led by the Holy Spirit. But what we are learning is that there's a mystery of the fellowship, that God wants all his fullness to dwell in us. And we can pray for that. But as we pray for that, we yield ourselves. We submit ourselves to his leading. We recognize him as Lord. And that word Lord is very powerful. The difference between maturity and those who are still growing in the things of God is the degree to which they have yielded themselves to the dealings of God, the degree to which they have yielded themselves to the Lordship of God. Now, let's have our final verse, Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 27, I believe. Let us just look at that. And okay, maybe I will read from 25, Colossians chapter 1, if you can just jump there. I will try not to keep it too much, too many places, so that you can have time to study some more. And these are just snippets so that you can have an understanding. But it says this, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, or according to the grace of God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery. Remember, we are talking about this mystery, and that's why I say it's a mystery. The mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. Look at where the mystery is made manifest. It is made manifest to us, the believers, to the saints. And what is this mystery? To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is this mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So remember, Christ is the Spirit of Christ, is the Holy Spirit, Christ in the believer, Christ in the saint, Christ in the whole is the hope of glory. So God is in you, and you are in God. And that is a mystery of koinonia, mystery of the fellowship. That the Jesus said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and you are in me. And he says that when the Holy Spirit comes to you, he will bring the Father, and he will bring Jesus, and we will make our home inside you. And Paul is telling us that we are praying. The word is teaching us that a prayer. I'm praying for the Ephesian church, that Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you shall be rooted and grounded in love, and by that you shall have the faith. You shall be able to comprehend all the riches of the glory of God, and that by that, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. So God has made it, and it has pleased him that he does not dwell in temples. And remember, even in the Old Testament, when Solomon prayed, he prayed that, oh God, I know you fill the whole universe, but how can you fill, be in a physical place? But show your mercy and dwell in this place. But the ultimate desire of God was to dwell in man. And so God's place and God's dwelling place, and even you see, if we go to the final end of Revelation, it says, and now God's dwelling place is with men. God's desire and God's pleasure is to dwell inside of man. Now, there is a discipline to it, obedience. There is a discipline to it, surrender to God. There is a discipline to it, keeping the commandments of God, worshiping him, submitting ourselves to God. It does not mean that now you're going to now walk around and say, now I am a God. Now I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I can do this. I can do whatever I want. I can command things. No. When you know that he is your Lord, he is dwelling inside you, then you submit to him and you ask him, Lord, lead me. Where, what do you want me to go? And that is why the voice of God should not be strange to a believer, because he's inside you. He is inside you, and he just speaks to you. So this is the mystery, and this is the mystery of koinonia. This is the mystery of fellowship, that in our hearts, inside us, God has chosen to dwell inside in all his fullness. And the more we surrender to him, the more we allow of him is what he gives us. And also in heaven, in the third heavens, he has also brought us to himself, and he has seated us with him at the right hand of the Father, and he has given that us that place of authority, and he has created that with us that mansion where we are seated with him in heavenly places, and every blessing of every believer is in Christ in heavenly places. I pray that God will give us understanding, and my brothers, you're welcome to have questions and just to reflect on the message that God has given us this morning.
All right, thanks, Dr. Manu. I think the message is quite clear, and it's a good reminder. To me, I see it reminds us of our worth, because if you look at 2 Corinthians, verse 9 to 10, that the fullness of God is in Christ in human form, our union with Christ, we are complete through our union with Christ, who is the head of all rulers and authorities. That means that our union with Christ brings us closer to the fullness of God. Then God is in Christ, and we are also, is also in us through Christ, our union with Christ. And Father Gordon says, if you have Christ on your side and you know Christ, then you know God and you have God. So you don't need to anything else. Everything that we need is in Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. But unfortunately, the lack of that knowledge of the worth that we have and what is in that within us, and as you said, it takes a certain discipline. You have to be prayerful. You have to be, you have to accept that, you know, Christ is Lord and Savior. We often find ourselves in certain vacuums, you know. You feel like there's a vacuum in you, you know. And the devil is very good at creating those vacuums. You find, get some small pain, then you start imagining how you are sick, how you are going to die, how, you know, those kind of things. And unfortunately, because of the lack of faith, the lack of knowledge, you know, and the lack of, you know, this closeness to God, we start accommodating this kind of thoughts. They could manifest. But yeah, I always remember that our union with Christ, you know, makes us complete.
Amen.
With the grace of God. So yeah, thank you for that.
Amen. Yes, welcome. Any feedback, Yemin?
It's fine from my side.
Okay. Okay then, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we give you thanks. We praise you, we worship your holy name. Thank you for your word that expresses to us that you have dwelt in Christ in the fullness of the Godhead. It pleased you that the fullness of the Godhead to dwell in Christ. And beyond that, you are in the Father. The Father is in Christ, and Christ, you are in the Father, and Christ, we are in Christ. And this is the mystery of the fellowship, that you chose us, that you chose us, that you loved us, that you made your dwelling, and by faith you live inside of us. And we know that you have given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And Father, I thank you for this mystery, that Christ in us, Christ in me, the hope of glory, that indeed I do not need to look for a God that is too far away, but a God that lives inside me, that is with me, that lives inside me, and that also comes upon me. And I thank you for the fullness, O God. And I submit myself, and I thank you for my listeners. I pray that they are able to submit themselves to that Lordship, and to surrender to your will, and to come to a knowledge of truth that, Father, you are God, and that you are in charge. And indeed, every area of our life that is not submitted or surrendered to you, we ask that, Lord, you cleanse us, sanctify us, purify us, give us the grace, the ability to walk in truth and to walk in obedience to you. Indeed, grace is divine empowerment to live a holy life. Teach us your ways, keep your words in our hearts, and strengthen us that we walk in truth in everything that we do. And this day we commit it to your able hands. Go ahead of us, cover our families, cover our children, cover everything that concerns our lives. Whatever we do, may all glory and honor go back to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. And
Amen.
Let's meet again tomorrow. Shalom.
Amen.